The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 21, verses 17 to 19. It is page 225 in the New Testament. I will read Acts chapter 21, verses 17 to 19. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Amen. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2, which he recorded during his third missionary trip, confessed that, I have resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It was a resolve to make every decision from the perspective of the cross of Jesus Christ and to live out the decisions. What would have been the reason for such a resolve? What is so great about Jesus on the cross? The cross of Jesus. There must have been so many great men 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire that conquered the Mediterranean world. Why would Paul stake his life on Jesus, who died as a state criminal, nailed to the cross, the tool of execution at the time? It is because Jesus, who died nailed to the cross to atone for the sins of men, lived again on the third day after his death, breaking death apart. He did not die afterwards as the time passed and he became old. He completely conquered the power of death that swallows up men and lived again forever. Even if Jesus had died to pay for our sins as an offering on the cross, what would his death and the cross have to do with us if that were the end? The law of God clearly calls for death as the sure consequence of sin. If Jesus did not live again and died on the cross, how could we, no more than just weak sinners, overcome that mighty power of death to which even the Messiah surrendered to? It would be an inevitable course, then, for each of us to end up as a feeding for death, a vain life, even if we lived like somebody's in this world. But Jesus, who died to pay for our sins as an offering, overpowered the power of death. He came to life forever, so that the atonement through the death on the cross became the never changing atonement. The way of eternal life through the cross at last was open to us. This is the reason that Paul testified as follows in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 to 19. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But if He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised, For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. This saying really goes to our hearts. If Jesus, who was nailed to the cross and died, did not live again, then Paul, who staked everything on Jesus, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, was either a con man of the century or a mentally disturbed person. And all those numerous people who believed in Paul, who believed what Paul said and believed in Jesus, would have met their end for good at their death. If Jesus had not lived again, all of us who are in worship on this Easter Sunday are doing something totally meaningless. And I, who is testifying about Jesus' resurrection, would also be either a liar or a swindler. And you, who are tricked by my sermon, would be the most pathetic people to be pitied. And all of us will be dying day by day within the fetters of sin that we can never do anything about on our own. But Paul's testimony completely turns around as follows. I will read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20-22. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Now there is a nice symmetry in this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. Because of the sin of the one person, the first person, Adam, everyone who was born with his sinful nature, death became an inevitability. And in the same way, because of one person, Jesus Christ, who died as an offering of the cross to atone for men's sins and lived again, breaking death apart, all men who came to be entitled to eternal life. So the reason that Paul resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified was because the death of Jesus Christ and the cross were the way to eternal resurrection. Paul became captivated by Jesus Christ, who lived again, overcoming death and transcended time and space, not by Jesus of the past, who died nailed to the cross. He went all over the Mediterranean world no less than three times as the witness of the resurrected Jesus. And at last, after three mission trips, he arrived at Jerusalem. He went to see the brother of Jesus, James, who was at the time the top leader of the early church, with his companions. There were elders of Jerusalem present there as well. Let us look at Acts 21, verses 17 to 19. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. As I said last time, Paul, who saw James again in 10 years after the time of chapter 15 of the Acts, greeted and embraced him warmly and shared the joy of being reunited. And he testified to James and the elders of Jerusalem about what God had done for the Gentiles during his mission trip in detail. It was a detailed testimony about the amazing providence of salvation that God had done through the resurrected Jesus Christ, who conquered death. When Paul had met James at Jerusalem 10 years ago, it was after his first mission trip. According to chapter 15, verse 4 of the Acts, Paul then had explained in detail to James and the leaders of the Jerusalem church about what the resurrected Lord had done during his first mission trip. And until Paul met James again, in today's text, Paul had undertaken two additional mission trips, so we can pretty much guess that what Paul testified about in today's text is what God had done during his second and the third mission trips. Now, what had God done during those two mission trips of Paul through resurrected Jesus? Right before the second mission trip, Paul parted with Barnabas, who was his partner for the first mission trip. As a result, instead of heading to the island of Cyprus, to where Barnabas was heading, he went towards north from Antioch of Syria and headed to what today is Turkey. Now, Paul's original plan was to revisit the cities he had gone through during the first mission trip and encourage the faith of the local Christians there. But the Lord guided him to Troas, a harbor city, and led him on to Macedonia across the Aegean Sea through the vision that Paul saw of a Macedonian man. The God had called Paul was born and had lived in Asia to the European continent. This was not in the picture in Paul's plans or in his mind originally. Now, Paul went out to a river to look for a place to pray when he came to Philippi, the first city he came across in Macedonian region. He ran into some women there and delivered the gospel to them. Lydia, who traded purple cloth, received the Lord as a result, and she and her household became baptized. Lydia is the first Christian to be baptized in Europe in the history of Christian history. To bring salvation to this one woman, Lydia, who was in Philippi in Europe, the Lord had called out Paul, who was in Antioch of Syria, to travel 2,000 kilometers of distance and made him come precisely on that day, at that hour, to that riverbank in Philippi without any margin of error so that they could meet. Now, Paul also had to endure a severe beating and imprisonment because he freed a poor woman from the control of an evil spirit, and the employers of that woman conspired against him. But because of this unjustified imprisonment, the prison guard and his family ended up accepting the gospel, and he and his whole family became baptized. And a result of this, Lydia's family and the family of the prison guard came together to solidly form the first church in Europe, the Church of Philippi. This was something that totally went beyond Paul's imagination. After that, Paul arrived at Corinth, going through Berea and Athens, pushed onwards by the persecution of Jewish people. Every single place where he stopped, people who had been called by the Lord for salvation received the Lord, and a church was formed. And while staying in Corinth, the city of decadence and darkness, during a year and a half, Paul recorded 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, giving light to the gospel. All of this, too, was not what Paul had planned at all. When he started out on the third mission trip, he went to Ephesus, where the Temple of Artemis, known as the Mystery of the Ancient World, wielded absolute power. And while he stayed there for 3.5 years, many people received the grace of salvation in Ephesus, the city of idols. Not only that, the gospel seeped into the entire western part of Turkey, which was known as the Asian region. And in Ephesus, Paul recorded 1 Corinthians of the New Testament. It was also in Ephesus that the ultimate vision that the Lord wanted to fulfill through him was bringing in the gospel to Rome was understood. After this, Paul went again to Macedonia, Europe, and toured Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, where he had visited before, and recorded 2 Corinthians and Galatians. And he revisited Corinth, and recorded Romans in the New Testament, which contains the essence of the gospel. In Corinth alone, Paul ended up recording 3 books of the New Testament, the 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Romans. The fact that the resurrected life in Jesus works with more power, the more decadent and dark the world, became proven. Now, Paul wanted to go back to Palestine after concluding his third mission trip by crossing the Mediterranean by ship. But the secret plot by the Jewish people according to kill him on board became known to Paul. It was, in fact, revealed by the Lord. Because of this, Paul had to travel through Macedonia again, a long detour of 6,000 kilometers of distance. But thanks to this, Luke, whom Paul had left behind in Macedonia during his second mission trip, was able to rejoin Paul's party. and recorded everything that Paul, who was now in advanced age, did in detail in Acts, the words of God. And in Troas, by Paul bringing Eutychus to life again, it was proven yet again to the world that Jesus had come to live again, overpowering the power of death. According to verse 20, when Paul had reported all of these things that God had done through resurrected Jesus Christ during his mission trip in detail, everyone who had gathered there to listen gave glory to God. Unless the Lord came to life again, unless the Lord is continuing to live in the present, there was no way that such amazing works of salvation could have happened continuously. They could not be done by the will or the ability of men. When Paul was young, his dream was to become a leader of the Jewish faith. To Jewish people, Judaism is, of course, absolute. But from the perspective of the Roman Empire that had conquered the Mediterranean world, it was just a minor religion of a minority who didn't amount to much. If Paul's dream of becoming a leader of the Judaic faith had come true, Paul would have disappeared 2,000 years ago in Palestine as a handful of dust without any trace. But the resurrected Lord called out Paul on his way to Damascus, precisely as if he were picking him out with a pincer. And for a long time, the Lord trained Paul by his methods. There was a time when Paul, like a loser, had to live in hiding at his hometown for 13 long years. But through that long period of training, living the life where he completely entrusted himself to the Lord became a bodily ingrained habit. And at last, the Lord called him through Barnabas to be a co-pastor of the Church of Antioch. Paul was deeply moved by this, and he probably made up his mind to live his entire life as a good pastor. But when a year had passed, the Lord called him again as a missionary of the gospel. Paul had picked out the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean and the western part of today's Turkey. For his mission works. That was all. To Paul, who was from Asia, Europe was a place far away, a place not in his mind. But the Lord called Paul to the European continent and gave rise to the work of salvation, where numerous people and many places in Balkan Peninsula became saved through Paul. And in Europe, the Lord made Paul record his words, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Romans in the New Testament. Finally, Paul was called to the heart of Roman Empire, Rome. And God renewed the history of the Roman Empire and the history of mankind through Paul. All this was possible, as Paul believed, because Jesus, who died on the cross for the sin of men, had conquered the power of death and came to life eternally. So Paul, who was executed 2,000 years ago and died, is not Paul of the past. He became Paul of the present, who lives transcending time and space in the resurrected Lord. He became Paul of the future, who will live eternally. Paul's faith was not in vain. Neither was he somebody to be pitied. He was not a fraud of the century, nor a crazy man. Paul was a great apostle who contributed the most to mankind during the 2,000 years of church history. This was not because he was great, but because Jesus, in whom Paul believed, is the Lord of resurrection, who has broken the power of death. Here we are faced with the question. If Jesus, who had died on the cross as an offering, had not fallen into a coma for a while, but had really died, if the Lord had really died, how could somebody who's become swallowed up by death and was now a dead body come to life again, overcoming death? The Apostle Paul answered this question as follows. This is from 1 Corinthians 6:14. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Jesus, who died on the cross as an offering to pay for men's sins, lived again because the Holy Father God had given life to his only Son, who was lying as a dead body in the midst of death. The Greek verb ageiro, which has been translated as give life again in Korean, means to raise up. God, whose arm is never too short, destroy the power of death that swallows up men with this mighty power, and raised up his only Son again in midst of death. The resurrected Jesus The resurrection of Jesus, who died as an offering on the cross and atoned for men's sins, in short, was what God had done. Paul was a witness of these works that God had done. Paul declared that God, who raised up Jesus in the midst of death, will raise us up too with such power. Paul was able to make such conclusive declaration because God had himself raised up Paul, who was dying in the midst of fetters of sin and death. How could God not raise us up who believe in his only Son and follow him? Having come upon this meaningful day in Easter Sunday, let us all, like Paul, entrust our lives wholly to God, who had brought Jesus to life in the midst of death. The power of God, which is never too short, will raise us up in Jesus Christ. although we are like dust, he will raise us up from the dirt of the earth. He will raise up our souls in the midst of despair. He will raise up our lives in the midst of pain and hardship. He will raise up our society and the churches of this nation through us. He will raise up and use us who are in the periphery to renew the history of our age, which is crumbling down. And when we come to lie down, suddenly one day in the midst of death, God will raise us up forever. As God himself had proven through Paul's life, our faith that believes in the Lord's resurrection will never be in vain. Let us pray. There is no one among us who has seen the Lord who died as an offering on the cross, or the Lord who lived again, breaking death apart. Thank you for giving us the precious faith to believe without witnessing the death and the resurrection of the Lord, even so. On this Easter Sunday, thank you for reconfirming for us that our faith is not in vain, that we who believe in the resurrection of the Lord without seeing are not people to be pitied, but rather all the children of God. Help all of us, like Paul, to completely entrust ourselves to the triune God who completely destroyed the power of death that swallows up men. May the providence of the Lord and his will, rather than the thoughts of our small brains, come to unfold in our lives. May the souls which were food for death come to life afresh every day in the Lord, so that we can live on as witnesses of the resurrection who raise up the society and this age. May the hours that pass us by not come to be stored away in the warehouse of the past, but be used in the present and the future of our Lord, transcending time and space in the resurrected Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.